This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Sharp Money, Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. On a Thursday, October 9, we welcome you. Thank you for all the downloads, likes, subscribes. Remember, formula, Sunday night, we'll be with you into Monday morning after the NFL week concludes into Monday night. And then on Thursday, we let the Lions bake, as they do, and we come and hit them, and we get to Thursday night's game as well. Now, the big question for today's show will be, what will the Cool Dads Club do now that they're out of Survivor? And that is for Mike Somich to answer.
Well, we've had our lunch still. We commiserated over the Rams loss last week. I still have two entries in. One of them is with one of the guys in that group, so we're still riding high here with just 4,646 people left in Circus Survivor after an absolutely chaotic week last week. I mean, we were on the recap on Sunday night. I don't even know if I still believe that the Cardinals found a way to lose that football game. It took so many wild occurrences. And I like, not even being ridiculous here, I think that's the worst Survivor loss I've ever seen.
DeMicardo?
The fact that you had to use the Cardinals if you had them because it was your last opportunity, and for them to be up, dominate early, and then all of the different little things that had to go wrong, not just the drop ball at the end zone, not just the kicked interception into the end zone for a touchdown, but like Kyler getting it snapped in his face and the inconsistencies with that offense after the first two drives. I mean, just an epic loss if you had the Cardinals.
What'd you think about the $100,000 fine for the DeMicardo situation for Gannon?
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised it wasn't worse. You know?
Oh, really?
Well, look, man, like, there are certain things that you cannot do when you are an employer, and one of them is hit your employees. Like, that's the line you're not really allowed to cross. I do think it's funny that kicking the punter is less of a fine than what he did on the sideline, but I'm not shocked it was a fine. I was wondering if we would see something worse from the Cardinals outside of just the fine, but I wouldn't have been shocked if he was fired. I'll put it that way.
Right now, just quickly before we get to the board, that division, 49ers are -125, the Rams are 2-1, Seattle is 5-1, and Arizona has dropped the 35-1. What stands out?
Not the 49ers. I still don't believe don't believe this team should be the chalk inside this division. The Rams probably should be undefeated right now and yet are sitting there with a couple losses. It would be Rams or the Seahawks for me. The problem with both these teams is they've just found ways to lose games at the end of these spots. It feels like the Seattle should have beaten the Niners in week one. It feels like Seattle should have beaten the Bucks last week. Yet here they are with two losses, and now they got to go on the road. We'll talk about that game, obviously, coming up here. I would probably be on the Rams, if anybody. But the Niners' schedule is pretty light coming home as well. Like, this was the tougher part of their schedule that they've already gotten through.
Yeah, we were Michael was talking about his Patriots beating the Bills as one of the bigger games of the year. I would still say San Francisco going to Los Angeles in the shape they were in, turning around on a short week and winning that football game is still one of the more, even with a team that's got one loss, I think that's one of the more impressive wins on the year. But I still don't buy San Francisco. Eventually, this is a long, arduous, attritional league that has to catch up to you, those injuries. Okay, 251. Let's start there. We'll end, as we do on Thursdays, with the Thursday night game with Philadelphia at the Giants. Let's go to Tottenham in London. Denver taking on the Jets. I had 5.5 as the open. You may have something different. And I've now got Denver 7, and DraftKings is showing 7.5.
Yeah, look ahead with 6.5 Denver, open 5.5, 6. Now we're all the way up to 7, 7.5. I would go and try and get the 7 if you can here with the Broncos before this evaporates. I do think Denver the right side here. This defense should be able to keep this Jets team in check. And I just don't love what I've seen from the Jets defense, a unit that we all thought was going to be top 5 2 years ago that just never have lived up to those type of expectations. We saw them switch to a man-heavy coverage here under Aaron Glenn, and I just don't see how this is going to be all that effective against a Broncos team that can run Bo Nix when they need to, and a Broncos team that has the ability to have receivers go up and make plays on the outside as well. So I would lay the 7 with Denver if you can get it in. If you're a teaser person, I like Denver as a teaser here. I think they take care of business, and I like Bo Nix rushing yards over. This Jets team likes to give up yards to quarterbacks because their back is to them when they're playing man coverage.
Yeah, get your daughter Lily to hold her nose. Uncle Patrick is taking the Jets. I mean, they look awful, and this is the time to buy. 5.5 up to 7.5. I wouldn't take the 7. I'd take the 7.5 over at DraftKings right now. Look, it's travel, it's London, it's weird. I'll take the 7.5. The NFL, you have to sometimes take those disgusting dogs.
You do. I think the travel is interesting here. I'm glad you mentioned that. This is a Denver team that we played in Philadelphia last week. They flew to London directly after the game. So they flew Sunday night. The Jets flew on Monday night. So both of these teams going significantly earlier than we have seen teams in the past. A lot of teams were going over Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So this is a early travel spot for both of them. So both teams should be relatively used to the conditions and the time zone over there.
Okay, next up, Mike, 253. Cleveland is at Pittsburgh. 5.5, I believe, the open. And now we're seeing some sixes pop up as well. Where are you at here, Cleveland at Pittsburgh?
Man, I don't love this one, but this is one of my bets for this week. I'm gonna take the Steelers team, and I'm going to lay the 5.5. And this is largely to 2 points. First off, Pittsburgh coming off the bye. I expect the offense to be a little bit more crisp than what we have seen the first couple weeks. Secondly, this is just a terrible spot for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, last week was an awful one, having to travel over to London and take on a Vikings team that had already been there for a week. But now, after making that trip, you are flying back, and you have to go to Cleveland, get things situated, then head out on the road to Pittsburgh. Not a big trip from Cleveland to Pittsburgh, obviously, but you're still going on the road, basically in back-to-back games. No bye off of the long travel to London. And now you've got Dylan Gabriel, who I thought was okay. I mean, he wasn't as bad as I thought he could be in that game against the Vikings. Now he's got to go, and he has got to play in a true road environment in division against a Steelers defense with a bad offensive line in front of him that should be able to heat him up consistently throughout this game. I like the under in this game. I like the Steelers in this game. I think Cleveland has issues scoring once again this week.
Okay, let's get some golf on the line. We're opposite. I'm going to take Cleveland catching the six. Now, this is super, super weird. The record for teams who don't take a bye after London, Cleveland, is 11-6 straight up and 9-8 ATS. But there is another layer to this. The Steelers have extra rest coming off a bye. I believe this is the first time in NFL history, an international game, and then the next week they face an opponent coming off a bye. So your situation is much better.
Yes.
It's an elite defense, and I think Pittsburgh stinks. They're bottom five, both total offense, total defense. I will take Cleveland and the six. I'm starting in a pretty disgusting manner here on Sharp Money. I like the Jets and I like the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah,
I
mean, you're gonna
what could go wrong?
You're gonna start drinking at 7 in the morning because you have to root for these teams with just absolutely inept offenses and inept head coach. But hey, look, I don't blame you, man. Go for it. Take your points. It's the NFL. You got to buy low on some of these teams, as you said with the Jets. When everyone else is out is the great time to be in on some of these teams. I just can't with this spot. This, like, situationally, this is absolutely awful, and I'm looking forward to being up 3 rounds of golfs on you when you still haven't paid off the first one.
Well, your ass lives 2.5 hours away, and you have a family, and I've got nothing, so come on down. next up, 255, Arizona. The aforementioned, yep. At Indy. Now, here's the one thing we have to say about Indianapolis before we talk about the number. We have to stop doubting them. We have to. The offense is unreasonably efficient. And now you dig into the defensive numbers, and they all of a sudden are starting to shine. Three opener. Three seems dubious because it's all the way up to 7, 7.5.
So the look ahead was 3.5. Okay. This reopened at 6.5, and now we're out to 7.5. And it's funny because we just talked about when the market is selling, you got to be buying. A 4-point move is kind of wild in
week number
six. Like this, we're not early enough here where you should be like, just drastically, or so you should say, we're late enough in the season. You shouldn't be drastically moving two teams. And I don't really think you're upgrading Indy off a huge win over the Las Vegas Raiders because the Raiders played terrible in that spot. And then you look at Arizona and like, I get they lost to Tennessee, but that was kind of Arizona in every single game. I mean, except they just made more egregious mistakes than the normal level of mistakes that they had made in the prior games. You got to remember this Arizona team was in one possession of New Orleans in week one, right? This isn't a team that has been blowing people out. It's a team that has been allowing teams to stay in game, much like what we saw last week. I will hold my nose here. I have not bet it, but it would be 7.5. I'll take the points of the Cardinals or pass here. I realize Indy is good. I think they are very good on offense. I think the defense is a little overrated at this point,
maybe
who they have played, but at the same time the adjustment on the Cardinals too big for me. So this would either be take the 7.5 with the Cardinals or tease the Colts if you want to look at that side.
All right, there is a lot going on with Arizona right now. I didn't love Kyler in the post game questioning the offensive scheme. The Gannon situation. So you could use that to back you. This is what's so funny about sports betting analyzation. You can take that angle and say, well, that's why I love Arizona. They're going to bounce back. They're going to be pissed. I will just simply say this. Indianapolis is much better. They probably should be 6-0. They're 5-1. And I will find a 7 and lay it with the Colts hosting Arizona. I don't trust Arizona at all. 257. The Rams are at Baltimore, Mike. Well, let's go before the season and see what this number was, because this number is up to the Rams at Baltimore laying 7.5. I believe on Sunday when we were here, it was 6.5.
Yeah, it was 6.5 on Sunday. If you look preseason, I believe this was a 3-3.5 line on Baltimore. So we're seeing just a massive move here, much like we saw last week with that Houston game and the move there. I don't know what to do with this Baltimore team, Patrick. I have no clue how to grade them. I mean, this was the number one team in most people's power ratings heading into the season. We're talking about 7 Pro Bowlers that missed last week, 8 starters that missed for this Ravens team last week, including like key pieces that people don't talk about, like Ricard and offensive line pieces. Like, this is a Baltimore team that just banged up on both sides of the football. Hamilton looks like he's going to be back. Maybe we're going to get offensive lineman Stanley back as well. So you get 2 key pieces that could be back, but you still are talking Cooper Rush. You're still talking about having, you know, multiple pieces missing at the linebacker level, the pass rush level. I don't really love the spot for the Rams, who have to go across the country. And so I'm not like running to the windows to lay the 7.5, but I don't really want to back Baltimore either. So I haven't bet this game.
No, you can't. How can you bet this game? I wouldn't even understand what you would be thinking about betting the Rams in Baltimore. And also, it's October 9th. The starters in the AFC North are Joe Flacco's the Bengals starter, Aaron Rodgers the Steelers starter, Dylan Gabriel's the Cleveland starter, and Cooper Rush is your Baltimore Ravens starter. See you later, Rams Baltimore. I want nothing to do with you. Take care.
How about that for a parlay? Week 6 starters in the NFC or AFC North. You could have gotten a big price on that one. Did you know that this trade between the Browns and the Bengals, the first time in the 60 years of franchise history between the two that they traded? That was the first trade in 60 years between those two franchises in division, because the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals is the son of the person who started the Cleveland Browns, lost the franchise.
Yeah, this is how the call went. Hello, Donk. Yes, Donk. Do you want to trade a Donk? Yes, I'll take your Donk. Okay, let's have some fun. Seattle. See, here's the thing. Seattle's at Jacksonville. Love this game. It just a multitude of reasons. And Jacksonville, I believe, close to a pick-em. Maybe they were a point on Sunday, and now they're a point and a half. 47.5 with Seattle at Jacksonville on the total.
Fascinating game here, Patrick.
It's awesome.
I don't like Jacksonville. I think that their defense is fake. Even the Monday night game, you saw like the roller coaster ride that is Trevor Lawrence, where he has these moments and these throws, and you're like, wow, he's awesome. And then he has those moments where you're like, could this guy even play quarterback? Like, what is he doing out there? And I just there's not enough of the clutch ability. Even him falling at the goal line kind of encapsulates Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, he stood up and was able to run for the touchdown, but like, that's the type of stuff that happens to him. He airmails wide receivers in the red zone. I can't with Jacksonville. It would be Seattle or pass. I don't have a bet in on this game because of the travel spot for Seattle here and because of the secondary specifically. Witherspoon, Woolen, and Love all questionable for this game. If the injury report comes back clean and all three of those guys play in the secondary for Seattle, it's a go on Seattle for me, but nothing so far.
The 3rd and 7 pass, 33 yards down the right sideline to Brian Thomas Jr., was one of the better throws you're going to see. And that's what makes Trevor Lawrence so confounding. And by the way, he followed it up with a 13-yard out to Dyami Brown on a rope. He's the best prospect outside of Luck, Elway, and Peyton Manning we've seen. And I don't know if that's going to be a buoy, kind of carry the momentum, because he has had a couple of good years in the pros and he's been a stud since high school and college. Having said that, Seattle's better than Jacksonville. The injuries in the secondary do concern me. I'll wait until this is one of those where even on Thursday we still have to wait. But if it's anything for me, I do like Seattle. I thought Seattle and the Bucks, if you want to tier the teams, I thought you're watching two really good freaking football teams last week go back and forth.
Yeah, I thought that game was awesome. We had
it was one of the better games of the year.
Terrible slate on Sunday. Like, you were watching the morning games. I was like, wait, what is the good game here? And there really wasn't one. And then the afternoon games, it was really just that Bucks-Seattle game that had me absolutely enthralled, just a back and forth, up and down. Seattle makes a couple mistakes in the first half, but does a wonderful job of executing at the end of that game, end of the first half, to score a touchdown. They get the football back, take the lead, and then we just went full shootout mode. And kind of an unlucky interception for Darnold there. Hits a helmet, bounces into a player's hands. Unfortunate one of those two teams had to lose that game, but Seattle's kind of found ways to lose those type of games. But I agree with you. I think Seattle's a better football team. It's Seattle or pass, but I need the secondary if I'm going to bet it.
261, Dallas is at Carolina. I believe it was 3.5 on Sunday. I could be wrong, but now we're down to threes blanketed everywhere. 49-50 on the total.
Yeah, this is an interesting spot here for Dallas, because Carolina, coming off of a huge come-from-behind victory against the Miami Dolphins, down 17-0 in that game, they get the win. Dallas is a team that it seems like they've really figured things out on offense here. CeeDee Lamb, we'll see if we get him. I think he is more leaning toward not playing versus playing this week, but we'll see if that changes, as he was out running routes yesterday in practice. I kind of like the Cowboys in this spot more than I like this Carolina team, but the Carolina defense has been better than what I had expected coming into this year. They've been better against the run. They've been able to they've been able to at least slow down passing offenses. I do think Dallas has a field day in this spot, though, on the passing side of it. I kind of like Dak yards, because I do think that you're going to have to throw the football to move. So if you want to take his passing prop over, that's interesting. But we don't have props up, which is frustrating. But I will say, when we see the tight end props come up here in this game, I am very interested in the Dallas tight end in this spot, because he is having a phenomenal year. Ferguson's catching pass after pass for them. Carolina, the worst team in the NFL, allowing tight end receiving yards. This is a spot where I think Dak is going to target Ferguson quite a few times. So I'll take the Ferguson over receiving yards once that comes out. I think Ted Roe McMillan has a big day for the Panthers as well. So I'll be playing props on both sides of this game, but I lean over on the total, haven't bet it. No side interest for me.
I'm all in on Dallas. Lay the three. The three and a half down to three is a gift. The one thing Dallas is, Dak is an MVP candidate. Dak is playing so freaking well, it's unbelievable. And that's without CeeDee the last couple of weeks. What's opened up this offense this year is they're running the football. Javonte Williams has been awesome for them. And Carolina got a win last week. They were horrible in the first half offensively. They're just everything about Carolina. They can't stop the run. Dallas lay three.
It's interesting where you see some of these moves in the offseason that don't register, and then the season starts. You see a couple games, and all of a sudden you realize how important it was. The run game coordinator goes from Arizona and takes the job in Dallas there and on the offensive side. All of a sudden, the Arizona can't run the ball, and Dallas can. It's one of those little minute coach
point.
Moves that happens that you don't necessarily point out, but you realize how important it is after you've seen a couple games.
That's a good point. 263, the Chargers are at Miami. That's it. I'll laugh. Look ahead to the open, to where we sit right now. You can take care of the first two. I'll give you 4.5 with the Chargers and 43 on the total.
Yeah, this is a weird one, because the look ahead, you could get it like as high as 6.5 in some places. There were 5.5s. The Chargers offensive line is a absolute mess at this point. I mean, we're talking about second string right tackle, talking about fourth string left tackle, second string right guard. They've had injuries in game the last two games, which has really affected their ability to block. Now, I expect that Harbaugh able to figure something out now that we've had a week to prep, but I don't know what bodies you've got left to really make it that effective, even if you are able to figure something out in this spot. So when I look through this, it's Dolphins or pass for me. And I'm going to pass. I don't want to back this Dolphins team, because I do think that the Chargers are going to be able to run the football against Miami. We saw them give up 200 yards on the ground to Rico Dowdle last week for the Panthers. And this is one of those spots where I trust Herbert. I trust Harbaugh so much more than Tua and the infrastructure there in Miami. So I'll pass on this one. But if you had to maybe play a side, it'd be the Dolphins. I do like Waller over receiving yards props. It's another one where we've seen Darren Waller end up being the second leading target once Tyreek Hill went down. He played on a snap count in the first game, played on a larger snap count last game. He's going to be a full go this game with a full complement of snaps. I think he's probably ending up in the 50-60 yard range, which should be over his total once posted.
Yeah, Chargers, Miami, I want nothing to do with the side, but I do like the over 43.5. I think the second half is going to see points. You mentioned Herbert. Look, the Commanders didn't really play good ball in Los Angeles, and they walked out with a win. So the Chargers, and starting to look, that defense that we were jocking early, maybe starting to get a little bit leakier. So I'll go over with the Chargers of Miami. Michael's Patriots are at New Orleans. I heard you guys talking about this when I came on. 269. New England is, I think they opened 3.5, and literally everybody's 3.5, where I'm looking, 110 and 46-ish on the total.
Yeah, there was one rogue 2.5 that opened that I clicked on Sunday night, and there was there were threes across the board in the market.
Okay.
We've seen some Patriots money push this out to 3.5 here in this spot, and that movement to me is right. But this is one of those weird double trap games, right? This is a Patriots team that won on the road in Buffalo. It's a huge emotional high there to be able to get the win. Now they've got to travel back-to-back weeks, head down to New Orleans. New Orleans, on the other hand, finally gets their first win of the season. Spencer Rattler gets off the schneid as a starting quarterback to get a win. Two organizations that are kind of riding high on what happened last week there and the opportunities they were able to take advantage of. This feels like one of those games where we're going to find out a lot about New England, because 3.5 is cheap. If they play their A game, will they be able to in back-to-back weeks? Will they be able to get emotionally up for a non-conference road game against a team that is not good? That is one of those things you have to learn as a team, is how to be able to do those type of things. I wouldn't lay the 3.5 now. But it would be New England or pass for me if you made me pick a side.
Yeah, this is New England is the team that we talk about building and building and building, and they're always going to play. Vrabel probably doesn't sleep over those five turnovers against the Pittsburgh Steelers, because this is a team that should be. But New Orleans is not freaking terrible. And no. Once you go to 3.5, I like you said, it's a cheap price for what New England should be. If I had to do anything, I'd take the 3.5 with the home team, but I can't really do anything with this football game.
Yeah, this is a team that is much maligned, right? The Saints. But they had a possession in the first game of the season against the Cardinals to win. They had the ball in the second game of the season against the 49ers to win. They got blown out at the Seahawks, but that game went off the rails immediately because of special
teams. That was done before it started. Yeah, that was throw it out.
They were 100% in the game at Buffalo. They end up losing by 12, but they were in that game in the fourth quarter.
They were in that game.
And they beat the Giants. Yes, the Giants turned the football over like crazy, but that was a clean win for the Saints. This Saints team is better than I think people expect, and especially at home. Like, you look at their home results now, they're 1-2, but they could have won all three of those football games. So I just be wary running to the windows to click that -3.5 on New England.
Yeah, I would say this. The Saints may end up with three wins. But I'd say, you know what, Kellen Moore, I think that was a good effort this year, because I'm watching their games and I'm not like, it's not a team that's not giving effort. It's not a team you look at the sideline that's not into it. But New England should win this game. I think the way you framed it, a short price for a team that should be continuing to ascend. 267, Tennessee's at Vegas. I believe on Sunday it was 6 Vegas, and it's been bet down here. Tennessee taking some money, 4.5, 5.
Yeah, look ahead was 6.5, open 6. Now we're sitting here at that 4.5, 5 number. Oh, this game is hideous, Patrick.
Yeah, it's not great. Hold on, Geno just threw a pick.
Yeah, right? Well, this is the week maybe he doesn't, right? Brock Bowers, it looks like he's not going to play. Didn't practice on Wednesday. We'll see what the practice report is today. That's a big piece of this offense. He hasn't been right all season, and apparently the only way for that need to get better is rest, which is not great if you are a Las Vegas Raiders fan. I think Gentry has an opportunity to have a pretty big game here against a bad run defense in Tennessee. They are second in the NFL in rush yards allowed to Miami, so I think looking at Gentry props makes sense. I'm still scared about this offensive line here for the Las Vegas Raiders, but it would be laying it or pass for me against this Tennessee team, which, again, coming off of a huge emotional win, they're on the road. They flew back to Tennessee. Now you got to fly to Las Vegas. Another emotional, this is one of those spots where it just feels like you're going to see a little bit of a letdown from the Titans, who have not been able to move the football all season long, sans one drive, really, against the Cardinals last week. So it would be Las Vegas or pass, and I think this is your sneaky survivor game of the week. I think there'll be people clicking the Las Vegas button this week against Tennessee, the worst team in the NFL.
Second half in Arizona was the Titans Super Bowl, so much so that Ryan Callahan in the postseason speech, which have now become, omnipresent, he didn't know what to say. So I would imagine that carries over. You do have fours. BetMGM showing a four. I don't love it, but Pete Carroll and Vegas, if they don't go out and win by 7+, that would be embarrassing. The Titans, like I said, that second half was their Super Bowl. 265, San Francisco's at Tampa Bay. Interesting game for a multitude of reasons. You could tell me where we were Sunday, because I have mixes here, but three now everywhere with Tampa Bay laying it.
Yeah, this was one of those where the Bucs were two-point favorites in the look-ahead. We saw I basically three-painted on the reopen there with some juice over toward the San Francisco side. Now we're looking at basically three-painted, and there's juice both ways. So one book, you can get minus 115 on the plus three. At DraftKings, it's minus 115 on the minus three. So pretty even action here on both sides of this at three. I like the over in this game.
Me Patrick. Too. Me too.
47.5 seems cheap. I thought that this would be one of those where we'd be looking at the 49.5, like have to push up to 50. We saw this Tampa Bay team getting a shootout last week. I'm not sure what changes here. The pass rush for the 49ers was non-existent in 2 weeks ago. Their first game without Bosa was non-existent last week against the Rams. I don't think they're going to be able to rush the passer against the Bucs. That means Baker should be able to move the football at will through the air. And you flip around to the other side. Like, what's not replicatable about that offensive performance? This is a worse defense on the Bucs side than what we got from the Rams. The pass rush not as good than what we got from the Rams. I realize, like, you're still missing Pearsall. I realize you're trusting Jake Tonjes and Kendrick Bourne, but I don't see what's changed. And until I see something change, I think San Francisco can move the football. I'm just going to go back to the well as well. We've talked about Christian McCaffrey receiving yard props, Patrick. This Tampa Bay defense, third worst in the NFL, allowing receiving yards to running backs. I have a feeling Christian McCaffrey is going to get a lot of targets in this spot because of who's going to be out there for them. So we'll go McCaffrey over receiving yards for, I believe, the fourth straight week. And we're 4-0 in that one. So we'll go back to the well there.
Yeah, trustworthy, the word is the San Francisco offense. I've been down on Shanahan. Shanahan's been awesome this year. The offense will score. I'm all in on Tampa. Tampa Bay is America's team all of a sudden. And points, points, points. If we both talked about this total on Sunday. Don't worry if you get to the half and you're not tracking, because Tampa Bay will put up points in the second half and they will allow them. We'll go over the 47.5. Cincinnati and Flacco at 271. Cincinnati at Green Bay. And I believe we're 13.5, 14 on Sunday. It's 14, maybe even 14.5 on Sunday, to be fair. 14.5, and there are 15s in the market.
Yeah, look ahead was 13.5 last week, reopened at 14.5, and now we are sitting at 14.5 with one rogue 15 out there. So one of those games where there are a plethora of lines that are available depending on what you like here. I find these games really tough. I find the situation near impossible for Flacco and for Cincinnati. I was looking at the offensive line rankings, and when you correlate them across or combine all of the different places that give offensive line grades, the 31st offensive line in the NFL was Cleveland. So Joe Flacco's like, great, can't be much worse. Guess what it is? So Cincinnati was the worst offensive line when you bring all those stats together in the NFL, which is saying something because Houston is also in the NFL, and they're pretty atrocious. I don't know how Flacco stays upright in this game. The Packers get a rare revenge spot on an out-of-division quarterback in the same season because of the loss that they faced. I think they are going to absolutely go after him in the backfield. And you may have good stats from Flacco, just chucking it up to Brown, chucking it up to T. Higgins on the outside, because I think he's just going to let it rip. But I'm not sure they're able to consistently move the football in any way. And then the problem here is, when he was on Cleveland, he had a great defense. Cincinnati's defense is atrocious here. I think you either take the over or you just pass on this game. If we ever got like a 12, I'd be in on Green Bay, but I don't think that's ever hitting the market.
No. One of the reasons I think Cincinnati went with Flacco is adaptability and being able to start him ASAP. I don't want anything to do with 14.5 or 15. 14, look... Nothing. Cincinnati, Green Bay, I wouldn't even want to watch the football game, let alone bet it.
So this is the interesting thing, Patrick. We talked about Circa Survivor, 4,646 people left after over 12,000 heading into last week. 100% of those 4,646 people have Green Bay available. What percentage do you think take Green Bay as their survivor here?
85.
I mean, we've never had a 50% in Circa Survivor. I am fascinated to see how big this number is, because there'll be a lot of people that try and get cute, and they're like, well, you know, I'll take Pittsburgh, I'll take Las Vegas, I'll take one of these under-the-radar teams, save Green Bay, give myself an edge as we go down the line. I think this is the first week we're going to eclipse 50% in Circa Survivor history with the pick side, because everyone has Green Bay, and it sure feels like a free square.
We'll get your Survivor pick at the end here. Sharp money. Quick, let's go Detroit, Kansas City. I'll make this very quick. There's one elite football team in the NFL right now. One. And that is the Detroit Lions. After week one, it's almost like week one was, you know, for a coach like Dan Campbell, that week one embarrassment at Green Bay, it's almost like he got done and was like, sweet, I can build over the next 16, 17 weeks. And they certainly have. Goff's never played better. The coordinators, I was completely wrong. Not an issue. They're getting contributions from defense. They're getting contributions from special teams. It's a gift to take 2.5. You're not going to see 3 because the 2.5s are juiced down and there are 2 showing up.
Are the 2 best teams in the NFL both in the NFC North?
What, your Packers?
Yes, my Packers.
Oh, okay. I forgot Cleveland when they went to Cleveland. I forgot Dallas.
The Cleveland game was a wild anomaly, Patrick. They'd given up 0 points with 4 minutes left of that football
game. Late game management in Dallas was good, too.
Okay, all right. You know what? I don't want to hear it, all right? Dak Prescott played one of the best games I've ever seen a quarterback play.
I'll ask you this way. He was great. I'll ask you this way. Tears.
Yeah.
Really great team, really, really good teams, and then you keep going. I'm putting Detroit right now, neutral, 31 other opponents. Detroit wins. That's me. Do you have anybody in the great tier with them?
Buffalo. I've got Buffalo.
Defense. Ask Michael how good Buffalo is. Buffalo is so gettable this year, it makes my stomach hurt. Defense is so ridiculous. If they win a championship, nobody's going to remember a player on that Buffalo's defense. No, thank you. You can have them and shove them up your ass.
Hey, that's fine. You can have your opinion, Patrick, as wrong as it is consistently. You can have your opinion. I'm fine with that.
Yes.
But, like, again, waiting for those golf trips that you owe me after all the losing bets here 6 weeks in. But I will say this about Detroit. I trust them. Week in and week out more than any team in the NFL. I believe that I will get – like the thing with Buffalo is that we don't see the A effort for 4 quarters consistently. The A version of that team I still think is the best team in football right now considering injuries, right? We get 4 quarters of Detroit every single freaking week, and that is something you got to give Dan Campbell credit for. And so when you're looking at betting, right – I trust Detroit shows up more than I trust any other team in football shows up right now. That you're not going to get the lay an egg effort from Detroit. The last time I think Detroit laid an egg was Thanksgiving 2 years ago when Jared Love came on the scene.
Yeah, and Love was great in the game.
And he was awesome in that game. That's the last time I was like, wow, this isn't the Detroit team I expected. Right? Even last year in the playoffs, that defense was so banged up. I don't think you can really take away from the effort and the emotion that you saw from Detroit.
Okay, I like where you went there with it. So if Buffalo and Detroit were to play in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl, what would the bookmakers do with that number? I swear to you, I think it'd be a point favorite Buffalo.
Okay, here's why you're wrong. Here's why you're wrong.
Or pick them.
What's the number? I think Buffalo would be a point and a half. So I think you're right on that one. But here's the issue. Look at the game this set Sunday.
And it's Josh Allen. That's the answer.
Yeah, it is Josh Allen. Look at the game Sunday. KC -2.5. That's telling you that the books have Kansas City power rated higher than Detroit right now. Because a 1.8 is the home field advantage.
Yeah. 0.5, 0.8. You're right.
So right now, that line is saying that Kansas City is a better football team.
You know how these are bet. It's Patrick Mahomes. They're at home. It's a dynasty. There's a lot of donk money coming in. Yeah, then I'll reframe it. Forget the public.
Okay.
What would you set the number, Pasadena, Bills, Detroit? If I set the number, it'd be a pick 'em because I literally think 100 times 50-50.
I would say Bills are -1 because of the quarterback edge. I still trust Josh Allen much more than I trust Jared Goff. The total would probably be like 55.5.
And I go over.
Yeah, that would be a fun total because, the main weakness on Detroit is that secondary. The secondary is gettable.
And they're banged up.
Yes, they are right now. And that's why I kind of think we see this line where it's at. It's Detroit or pass for me. I love this as a teaser leg. You want to take Detroit plus 8.5? I don't see a world where Kansas City's blowing Detroit out on Sunday night at Arrowhead. I think that this is either a close game, like Kansas City wins by 3, or Detroit wins the football game. I just don't see Kansas City by margin here. So love the teaser leg on Detroit, and I bet Detroit plus the 2.5 because my numbers do not say that Kansas City is better on a neutral than Detroit.
If you're keeping track of Mike Somich's teams, he likes the Blues, he likes the Cubs, he likes the Packers, and now he likes the Bills. And the Bills are 275. They're at Atlanta on Monday night. Did we have a 5 on Sunday? Because it's now 4.5 everywhere.
It's been pretty flat here. The look ahead was 5.5 for the Bills. We saw that readjust to mainly 4.5s when this reopened. There was one rogue 5. Total was 50.5. We have seen the total get kind of bet around here, but not a ton of movement. A little bit to the under once the line baked a little bit. So we're now at 49.5. So this has gone down a full point from what we saw earlier. This is an over for me. If we get to 49 flat, I'm kind of waiting, hanging out, seeing if I can get the number. I may end up on an over anyway at 49.5, but the 49 is a buy point for me because I do think, as you said, this Buffalo defense is gettable. Atlanta coming off the bye at home, going to be pumped up for this game, but I do think you're going to get a pissed off Buffalo team, specifically on the offensive side, off of that loss to the Patriots.
And I forgot the Dolphins. I like the over here too. Let me ask you a question. Hypothetically, is Atlanta capable of losing 30-0 at Carolina?
Yes.
then Buffalo should win by 14. Well, 4.5 is hilarious.
That game wasn't 30-0, Patrick. Like they outgained Carolina.
I think that this team needs medication.
I think Penix might not be good. I think that is really the
No, their head coaches.
Oh, you're saying that.
He's a dumb person.
He's not intelligent. He's not smart, dude.
He just is in-game decision-making with the clock and just everything. No offense to Raheem Morris, but sometimes he struggles.
No offense, buddy, but you're dumb.
And by the way, I called this, so just how dumb I am, I called Dan Campbell dumb for the first 2 years, too.
I will say this. Like, Atlanta should be able to run the football at will. Like, they should just be turning around and handing it to Bijan Robinson because this is a bad Buffalo run defense, fourth worst run yards per game allowed in the NFL. They should be able to run the football all they want here. So we'll see if that is the game plan. I would be running, and then running play action and seeing if I can set up those safety to suck in and get a big play over the top.
The late Monday game to me is low-key the most fun game of the week, and that's 277 Chicago at Washington. Let's go. 1 versus 2 as far as the draft. The quarterbacks are fun. The offenses are fun. Like, I love this game. 4.5 everywhere with Washington laying it.
Yeah, the Kroski Merritt coming out party here. He was huge last week. We'll see if he can back it up against a Bears defense that allowed Ashton Jeanty to go crazy against them. I think he has the opportunity to have a big game here. Advantage offenses. Let's just put it that way in this game. This is another total that opened at 50.5 and has been slowly ticking down as the week has gone along. There are basically flat 50s out almost everywhere. There's 349.5s in the market if you do want to take the 49.5 over. I don't love betting overs. This is another one, though, where I just think the offenses have a pretty significant advantage. This is not a very good Chicago defense. It's not a great Washington defense either. Ben Johnson off the bye. I think they're going to be a little more frisky. Like Roman Dunze props. I like Kroski Merritt props. I think this is a high-scoring game. I think we have two fun Monday Night Football games.
I love the over. Hey, if you're in Vegas, go say hi to Chris Andrews at the South Point and bet 49. It's the only 49, but if you have FanDuel or DraftKings, let's go over the 49.5. I totally agree. Chicago and Washington, I think that's going to be a hell of a football game and a lot of fun. We conclude tonight here, Sharp Money, wherever you download your podcast, and VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The Eagles are at the Giants. 7.5, I believe, on Sunday. It is now 7.5. You can find a 7 over at DraftKings if you want to lay Philadelphia. No Jalen Carter, most likely, for the Eagles. No Darius Slayton for the Giants. So Dart is going to be without his top two signal callers. His two receivers.
Yeah, this is one of those spots where the total has moved more than anything else. 44.5, the look ahead reopen at 42.5, but down to 40.5 now in the market. So the total's dropped 4 full points since we saw these lines on Saturday. The side has been anywhere from, we'll call it, 7 to 7.5 consistently throughout that time period. I am fascinated to watch the Eagles tonight. and what we get from this offense, because the Giants cannot stop the pass. The Giants cannot stop the run. Philadelphia needs a get-right game, and they are given that opportunity tonight on offense. They should be able to feed A.J. Brown. He should go off. They should be able to run with Saquon. He should go off. But you look through the box score last week. Saquon had 6 carries, 8 carries, something crazy like that. It's like, what are we doing? This guy should be touching the football 20 times a game. I'm going to be on Dart rushing yards over. It's 36.5. I bet that again. I'll be betting that every week. He's going to be taking off, especially without his top targets. I lean toward Philly. But this is probably a game where I'm just going to tease it. I'm probably just going to take Philly down and play some dart props and call it a day here.
Okay. So narrative, and you're probably late to the party, so I'm going to warn you when these props opened. Narrative does play a part. I think this Philadelphia team has an identity crisis. 2 years ago, when they went in a tailspin, then went to the wild card and lost at Tampa, the locker room just imploded. Mm-hmm. Hurts was weird after the games. Hurts was asked after the Denver game, do you like A.J. Brown? And then he's like, yeah, we're good. Do you like Devontae Smith? Because he hates you. And then Saquon, they ran the ball 11 times. He ran the ball 6 times. That won't happen against the Giants, but he's also going to catch the ball. You can go to DraftKings right now and get rush receiving combined at 110 plus on Saquon at minus -123. He's going to go over. He's going to have a high usage tonight.
What do you think of the anytime touchdown parlay, A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley?
Just to make everybody happy.
Just to make them all happy parlay here. If you take Saquon, who's minus -165, and Brown plus +195, plus +415.
Let's go, Samo. That's a Samo bomb.
That's not bad. I mean, I don't mind that. Like, I think that we had a closed-door meeting with A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, and Jalen Hurts this week. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall for that meeting. I would have loved to hear those two air their grievances.
I wouldn't. Those two scare me.
I think it'd be hilarious. Well, that's why you want to be the fly on the wall, right?
Yeah. I don't want to be the mediator.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be the mediator.
But I've been intrigued to see what they said. But yeah, I think
the Giants' rush defense stinks for all that talent up front.
Yes.
Saquon's going to have a 50-yard run. He's going to have a 35-yard run. And, you know, that's – they're going to feed him. There was one more. And maybe we should whisper this because he's everybody's darling. He looks cool. He talks cool. Jackson Dart, he was impossibly bad at the Saints. He was literally just dropping the football.
He was fine when he didn't fumble or throw an interception.
Right, but he did that a lot.
Four straight tries. Yeah. So that was the problem there. Yeah. He's got no one to throw to. I guess
that's fair.
If you want like the dark sleeper, like throw it in your one game parlay. Bo Collins is going to be the wide receiver number 2 tonight for the New York Giants. Bo Collins was Jackson Dart's favorite receiving target on the second team when they were both, because Bo Collins is a rookie. Jackson Dart loved throwing to him. They talked about the rapport they had in preseason. Now they're both going to be on the field in the regular season. I want to say his receiving prop is 17.5. If you're looking for another leg tonight, I don't mind the Bo Collins over here because you're going to have some chemistry between the two. And it just, there's not that many dudes out there with chemistry. And we saw Theo Johnson, who was tight end number 2 when Knicks was, or when Dart was QB number 2, get 2 touchdowns last week in the end zone. So just a off the wall look there if you're interested.
If Bo Collins is a big part of Thursday night football, enjoy the baseball tonight, folks. all right, my final three. My three big ones here, sharp money for the week. I like Seattle catching the 1.5. I like the secondary does concern me, so hold off maybe. I like Detroit catching the 2.5. And my gross one just going completely the other way. I like Cleveland a full 6.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bucks Niners over. These are two teams that the defenses are not great and should be able to go up and down the field against each other, like the McCaffrey receiving prop in that game as well. Give me the Steelers minus -5.5. I think this is going to be a different world from what we saw Dylan Gabriel face in London. Now a true road game after with a short week to prepare against a division rival and a good defense. I don't love the Steelers. I love the spot. I'll lay it with 5.5 with Pittsburgh. And then give me the Lions plus the 2.5 as well. My numbers say that this should be closer to pick 'em. So I'll go ahead and I'll take the 2.5 here with the Lions.
All right. And before we get out of here, you do still have a couple survivors left. What are you doing this week?
Okay. So I have 2 survivors left in Circa right now, and both groups want to go Green Bay. I kind of want to go Las Vegas. I kind of want to go Pittsburgh. We'll see if Mike can win the argument before Saturday.
So wait, you're going home? Who is the two? I'm sorry,
Green Bay. I want to go Pittsburgh and Las Vegas. Those are the two I want to take.
Pittsburgh and Las Vegas. Okay.
I want to be cute with Green Bay because I don't think Green Bay loses, but I do think the value of keeping Green Bay in your back pocket when 50%+ of the pool selects them is enough to risk it here because you have to go 20-0 in Circa Survivor. This isn't trying to beat 100 people. You're trying to beat 18,000 people here. So if you got to go 20-0, having Green Bay later, I think, is very valuable. So I would rather risk it with either Pittsburgh or Las Vegas. I just don't know if anyone is going to have the chutzpah to risk it with me here.
Get that biscuit. If you've just found us on Sharp Money, first off, thank you, and we appreciate you, but you can find us elsewhere. Mike Somich on VSiN Channel 158 on Sirius XM, VSiN Watch App, and YouTube TV. Ready, Set, Bet on Saturdays and Sundays. The contest show as well. Give us the times on those.
Yeah, Ready, Set, Bet is from 3 to 6 Pacific on Saturday and 1 to 4 Pacific on Sunday. And then the contest show, 6 to 7 Pacific, 9 to 10 Eastern, channel Sirius XM 158 and the VSiN Watch app there as well as YouTube TV. That is where we release all of these Circa Survivor numbers as well as the Circa Millions top 5 picks for the week. So make sure you check that out if you're in any contest.
And if you like horse racing, VSiN at the Track. A new episode drops every Thursday with Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman. I'm Patrick Maher. You can find me Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 West on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM Channel 82. And Somich joins me for an hour on Fridays. Anything else on the way out?
Got a fun weekend at Keeneland, Patrick. We got a tournament tomorrow. You coming up?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it this weekend. But Keeneland, I've never been. Is it – you've been. Yeah. Tell us about Keeneland as a track.
It's incredible. I mean, like Saratoga and Del Mar are 1 and 1A. 1A and 1B, right? Never going to get beat. Keeneland is a clear number three.
Is it like a boutique, right?
It is a boutique racetrack. You literally park in a field. It is horse country. You're surrounded by breeding farms there. So you've got some of the best horses in history standing in these – they like literally within a block and a half of you. You fly over the racetrack to get into the airport. It's very welcoming to the horse racing crowd. And because of – like, look, horse racing is kind of a bougie sport, let's just be honest. The restaurant scene and the going out scene at Keeneland when the meet is going on are just chef's kiss, top 10 in the world, like just amazing. So it's a lot of fun at night. It's a lot of fun during the day. I highly recommend Keeneland if you ever get the chance.
Well, I will be texting you for the picks. Remember, Mike is one of the better horse racing handicappers around. You can also find his picks at racingdudes.com. That's Sharp Money for a Thursday. Pretty quick, we'll be back on Sunday night into Monday morning. We'll see you then. Sharp Money.